Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to everyone joining us tonight on July 13th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And of course, we've got Michael Kelly with us doing the producing and running all the buttons and knobs, right?
Hello, everyone.
All right. Obviously, tonight, as mentioned there on the webpage, we have a guest speaker with us. Dr. Norman Wilson will be returning, and he'll be talking on energy healing here in just a few minutes. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, ICMH Church also has several other educational programs, including EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and family of alcoholics and addicts, Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysical topics, and Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees at TFUniversity.org. As is customary, I'd like to briefly mention our abbreviated principles of belief, 9 of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you would like to read the full version of these, you can do so at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So, as I mentioned, welcome to all those listening to the live program, those in the chat room, those listening to the archives. Good to have you here. And tonight, Dr. Norman Wilson is returning to the program to talk on energy healing. Now, Dr. Wilson's been on the program several times in the past, especially when we had our video broadcast going. And so he's returning tonight. Now, I think on the email I had a typo. I called him Dr. Normal Wilson, which he's all good with. Ha! So welcome, Dr. Norman Normal Wilson. Nice to have you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kelly, Dr. Hunter. It's very nice to be here again. And it's nice to be normal once in a while. And I will rib you about that as time goes on.
Of course you will.
Energy healing has been around for a long time. It's getting some new publicity in recent years. It involves the healing of the mind and the body, the spirit. Various forms of healing modalities are available for people to take advantage of. Actually, it's been around for thousands of years. If you will, early man used hands-on techniques, sound, body movements to help induce healing. So we have energy healing today, and we have energy medicine, and we have energy therapy. And these seem to be emerging forms of complementary medicine, supportive medicine. And I don't want to get off on what I think about it called alternative. I don't like that word, but that's beside the point. Basically, most of the healing energy modalities, make use of the hands or a healing hands. And that's old. We find it in Christianity. We find it in Eastern religions and other Western religions. People have talked about that for quite a long time. There are a number of approaches that are being used today, and I would like to just, excuse me, mention a few of those and very briefly tell you what they are, and then I will spend the rest of my time on a particular one that I like. Most people have heard of acupuncture and acupressure. Those are from Chinese medicine, and there in acupuncture, they use needles at various points on the body to redirect the healing energy. If it's acupuncture, instead of using the needles, they use the physical force of their hands along what is sometimes called meridians, points in the body where they can make some impact. Another one is called bioenergy, and it's sometimes called Daman Chi or Daman Chi energy. It was designed by a man in Slovenia by the name of Zenedko Damachi. And it too is an effort to realign the body's energies through various movements by the healer, particularly the immune system. And so that is one of those. The next one is chakra healing, and I'm sure most people have heard of chakras. It is an attempt to change the flow of energy in a human body, particularly along what is known as the nerve pixels. That's where the nerves are connected to one another. We have root chakras and sacral chakras, solar plexus, heart, throat, third eye, and crown chakra. There are actually more than those, but generally people deal just with those seven and trying to redirect the flow of energy around those areas that may be having difficulty. The fourth approach is called EFT. That's emotional freedom technique, and I wish they wouldn't have called it that. And I'll explain that in just a moment. It's generally known as tapping. And you take your two fingers and tap at various points. It's like acupressure, where you're causing little different vibrations at various points along the body. The meridians, by the way, I mentioned that word. They're places, pathways, I think is a good way of saying it, where vital energy is moved along the body. Electrical signals transferred by the nerves, for example, are the same kind of thing. And there are 12 of these pathways in which people work. Of the many approaches, and as my understanding, as limited as it is, this particular approach, tapping, is very influential, very effective for those who are suffering psychological issues. And I think sometimes by the fact that they're calling it an emotional freedom technique may have a negative tone for some people, and they may reject that. And that's just a personal thing. The fifth one is called pranic healing, and it's the kind of energy work that uses what is known as life energy, life force. And the basic principle here is to cleanse the body of bad energy or negative energy, if you will, and replace it with prana or good energy, positive energy. Shamanic healing, you know, I've talked about shamanism before. I'm very much interested in that. It's based on the idea that the healer, like other healers, are a conduit of energy. And however, unlike the other ones, the shaman gets his from the spiritual world. He makes contact there and asks for help in bringing about healing to the patient. And they use hands out as well as the other ones. And the other one is Qigong, and I just recently completed my first course in Qigong healing. Fascinating, and I found it very interesting. It brings about a combination of meditation and physical movement to change the flow of energy in the body. The course I took was for personal healing. It isn't something that I can do for others. I can, I suppose, if I go back to school and do more. What happens here is that through a lot of meditation and then through body movements that enhances that meditation, the energy flow of your body increases, both mental and physical. And there's a great deal of emphasis on proper breathing. I think that's very important for all of us. We don't breathe well to get the nutrients and the oxygen in the bloodstream going. I am certified as a Reiki master, third level, and I have just completed my certificates A and B, which takes me beyond that in terms of healing modality. That's the one I want to spend most of my time on with you this evening. I think that I'll tell you just a little bit about Reiki. It's pronounced Reiki, K-E-E. And if it's in lowercase r, in Japanese, for example, it means universal life force energy. Okay. And we say Reiki energy. And I'm saying, why are we saying energy, energy? It's sort of a duplicate effort, but that's just a personal thing. Life force energy is the power that acts and lives in all created matter. Now, please remember created matter, okay? The REI of the word denotes universal, boundless aspects of energy. And the KI is the vital force energy that flows through all living things. So we have energy in all created things, and we have energy in all living things. So Reiki deals with both of those issues. You can deal with plants, trees, animals, as well as human beings. It was rediscovered by a Japanese doctor by the name of, he just left me all of a sudden. Miko Yusui, back in the 1920s, he'd gone to Buddhist temple, he'd gone to Christian and Hindu, looking for ways to heal his patients, and he came up with what is now known as Reiki. And it was passed on to other people, and they opened schools, and it became popular around the world. As with any healing system, the practitioner gradually makes it their own, making subtle changes, differences arise, disputes arise, they give them different names of the modalities, whatever the origin, whatever the style, okay, and I want to emphasize that, the main function is to heal, to help heal, okay, and I had to correct myself there. The Reiki person, the master, doesn't do the healing. He's a conduit, or she is a conduit for healing. The point, getting the client to help heal themselves. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. There are a lot of Reiki healing schools around the United States. Reiki masters charge anywhere from $75 to $100 per hour, if you're lucky. And so there's another little controversy with me. I don't charge. And I've been chastised by the International Reiki Association for not charging something, because they say a gift given all the time soon loses any appreciation. And I'm not so sure that I agree with that. So how does Reiki work? Okay. And before I forget it, by the way, the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science offers a Reiki program, at least it did, Dr. Kelly. Correct me if I'm wrong. You can get certified. You can get a certificate. You can just take a course. It's a good place to go, okay, if you're interested in that particular healing modality. And I think it's a good idea there. A Reiki healer will go into a meditation. They sanitize the room. They may use crystals. They may use essential oils, music. Some I've been to use drums. Others recorded music to set the tone. And the person is on a massage table, very comfortable. And the Reiki master then will either begin at the head and let the hands flow to the end of the body, not necessarily touching the body. If a client doesn't want to be touched, then keep the hands about an inch above the body. And anyway, if you are touching, no personal parts of the body are touched. Okay, that's a no-no. I prefer to begin at the head. Others prefer to begin at the feet. And you just let the hands flow down over the body, and once in a while they'll stop. And then they'll move on and they'll keep going on. The client may feel a warmth from the hands. They may feel a little tingling or a little vibration, or they may feel coolness. They may feel nothing, and that's okay. That doesn't mean there's been a failure. That client may feel something several hours later or several days later and make a change for them in the way. I think that I would like to just stop here now. I want to share with all of you a little technique for increasing your own energy. You know, you've had a rough day. You feel cranky. You're pooped. What do? I want you to fold your hands in prayer mode and raise them above your head until you have created an inverted V. Hold the hands just a little bit apart and slightly move them, but don't touch them. You'll begin to feel a little flow of warmth there or a little vibration. When you do, just leave it there. Then sometimes this may take 5 minutes. When you feel that, bring your dominant hand, whether you're left-handed or right-handed, down to your abdomen. Just hold it there. Feel the life breath of your own body. Feel the energy flow. You'll be surprised how good you feel. As an energy healer, we deplete our energy and we have to rejuvenate ourselves. That's one little technique I used. And this is to help you when you've had a bad day along the way. If a healer's hands linger over a particular part, that generally suggests there's an issue there. Either there needs to be a realignment or something. There can be a disease, other physical issues. If the healer senses a physical issue, if he's ethical or she's ethical, she needs to say to you, you need to see your family physician. Okay. This is not a substitute for modern medicine. It's a complementary thing to it. And if they don't do that, then I'd be very suspect. And I'm nearly about to close here now. And I want to urge every one of you, no matter which modality, and there are dozens that I haven't even mentioned, if you go to one, be sure you check for their certification. Be sure you check their background. Find somebody who's been a client and ask them how they feel about it. There are a lot of quacks out there. You know, a dime a dozen, as they say. And I would hate very much for you to have a bad experience when you're trying to do something positive for yourself. A Reiki master should always recommend checking with your personal physician. A reason, if you have a blood pressure issue or a heart issue, it may cause some fluctuations there. And I would like to say one other thing here, and then I will say thank you so much for having me here. I believe with all my heart that we should use absolutely everything there is in the world to help us regain our health if we don't have it, to help us live more peacefully and more comfortably. Ladies and gentlemen, namaste.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wilson. Excellent overview of energy healing. And of course, as always, it's a pleasure to listen to you and speak. And so thank you. Thank you for returning, and I hope to have you back again soon. Okay, let's continue on in a few minutes. If you would like a card pulled from our inner oracle card deck, just put your name there in the chat room. And somebody will make note of that, because I'll be talking. So, anyway, we're going to, I want to talk a little bit about some of the current events that's been going on with some of the racism and different things going on in the world, especially in the United States. And so I'd like to start it off with a particular card from the Inner Oracle card deck, and Dr. Hunter is going to read that for
us. I am so. Number 35, in fact. It's in the Service to Self and Others suit. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. And this is what our little book says. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It's an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality toward others as well as ourselves. Remember, you and we are all of divine energy.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. So let's talk about these current events. I know a lot of people are upset about them. What's going on in the United States? There have been some unjust shootings. You know, of course, that's been going on for many years, but there have been a couple in the recent news that's got a lot of folks riled up and upset, and justifiably so. Let's talk about racism for one thing. And I want to talk about this because it needs to be talked about, and it needs to be talked about from a metaphysical humanism point of view. And that's for the benefit of those who listen to us and those who are members of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. And of course, if you're a member, it's probably going to be no shock to understand our position on it. Let's talk about who we are as human beings. The facts. These are the facts now. We are all made of star stuff, literally. The way that it works is a star comes into being, it lives out its life, it you know, goes supernova or nova, and it creates heavy metals, and it creates the chemicals and the metals that are necessary to create life or to have life evolve. And that's what happened. So everything on this planet, every one of us, everything that you see, and everything was created from star stuff, from the materials in the star. That's not just speculation. That's a fact. Okay, so if we're all made of star stuff, then where is the room for racism and prejudice against any particular color of people, class of people, or any of that sort of thing? The fact is that there is no room for it. In fact, I hate to even call it racism. I don't believe there are different races on this planet. There's one race, the human race. We're all one race. We have different ethnicities. We have different religious beliefs. We have different heritages and so forth. But we have, you know, one destination. We're all heading to the same place. We're all moving along our path. And so there is no room for prejudice. There is no room for intolerance. There just isn't. In fact, when we are prejudiced or biased against any other person, we are actually indicting ourselves, because we're all made from the same stuff. I don't care if your skin is black, blue, purple, red, yellow, white. I don't care. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, as far as, it just doesn't matter. We're all human beings, you know. I mean, all human lives matter. All human lives matter. No one is more special, more privileged, more, or shouldn't be, than anyone else. We're all entitled to the same good things in life, no more, no less. And so, you know, let's just stop with this whole, you know, if you're black, then you're lesser. You know, and of course religion goes in, especially Christianity, because they talked about Cain being, you know, the ancestor of the black race, and that's just baloney. Most of it's baloney anyway. You know, so we're not gonna be prejudiced against black people anymore, folks. okay? We're going to do something different here. We're going to say, you know what? If your eyes are brown, then we're going to be prejudiced against you. Oh, wait, wait. Tracy's white. Eyes are brown. Okay. If your eyes are green, we're going to be prejudiced. Oh, and if your hair is red, yeah, if you have red hair and green eyes, oh, wow, we are really prejudiced. We're going to switch everything over to that. If you got blue eyes, that's okay. Well, wait. No, green eyes are okay. Let's just do blue eyes. Wait a minute, I have blue eyes. Okay, let's forget the eyes. Okay, if you're over 6 feet tall, no, under 6 feet tall. You see what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. In this day and age, to be prejudiced against somebody for this kind of thing is ridiculous. It is beneath our dignity for any of this sort of thing. And so we have to understand one thing. We are one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We are equal. We are all entitled to the same good things in life, no more, no less. We are all entitled to be being treated properly and respectfully. Everyone is. And so I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I know that the people who are listening to this program are all probably cheering me on here. Unfortunately, it's the people who are not listening to this program who need to hear this the most. Now, if you have any prejudice tendencies in your soul, now is the time to exorcise those demons. And I mean it, because it makes no sense. If there are any of that, get rid of it. Let people be themselves. You know, if we could just do one thing, if we could wave our magic wand and just heal everybody's self-esteem, you want to know what would happen to all this racism? It would disappear. Because nobody who has a good, healthy self-concept is racist or is prejudiced. They just aren't. They're too busy with their own work and living their own lives, and they're enlightened, they're evolved. And if we could just heal people's self-esteem, that would go a long way. So anybody who lashes out at others for their skin color or whatever, their religious beliefs or whatever, you know, they need to work on their self-esteem. If you're happy with yourself, you're going to be happy with others. Now, I'm not saying that those, you know, any people out there, terrorists, extremists, whatever, that kill other people, that's just wrong. You know, it doesn't mean you accept them. We don't. But the underlying principle here of all of this, in addition to one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny, is do no harm. Do right. Don't mistreat people. Don't disregard people. If somebody says hello to you, say hello to them. Be friendly like that, you know, and reciprocate that. Be a real live human being, down to earth, grounded. Respect people. Be cordial with people. Be friendly with people. Don't just blow them off. That's objectifying people. You know, and there are people who do that. There are narcissists who objectify others. They'll objectify women. They'll objectify anybody because it doesn't matter to them. But every one of us matters. Every one of us has a life to live, and every one of us has a path to walk, a journey to make, and to learn the lessons that are for us uniquely. So, you know, if you're watching the news, understand, we are making headway, folks. The stuff that's going on here, not as bad as the 1960s and the civil rights era there. They made a lot of headway, you know. Dr. Martin Luther King made a lot of progress there. And we have made progress. We don't want to go backstepping here. We want to continue to evolve and understand that everybody is equal and everybody deserves to be treated properly. Everybody's life matters. Yours does, mine does, all of our lives matter. And we all deserve to be treated with respect and dignity. So those are some of my thoughts on this matter, and I wanted to express that, and also I'll turn it over to Dr. Hunter if she has any comments to add.
Well, I think we're ready to pull some cards, but I wanted to mention something that Zach said in the chat. He said we also have societal prejudices, like, you know, in the social stratus kind of, you know, who's the boss, who's the subordinate, and that kind of thing. And I think that it's a really good point that you make, Zach, because there's all kinds of people who have superior attitudes. And when you're superior, when you feel you're superior, I think that there is a low self-esteem going on, but there's also a certain kind of brainwashing that's at a very low vibration. So it's, you know,
this is not to be confused with like an employer-employee relationship, or, you know, there are those kinds of situations where you have a boss, where you have somebody who's the employer, and you have an employee, and they direct the employees. But that doesn't mean you need to mistreat them. Reminds me here, a week or so ago, some manager wrote into some advice column and couldn't understand why his employee quit. I mean, she'd been an orphan. She'd been in several households growing up. She put herself through college, and she was going to graduate that day, and she asked if she could come in 2 hours later so she could attend her graduation. He said no. She quit, and he couldn't understand why. And so we have to treat people right. Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I think, if I have this right, Tabitha is first. I'm going to just put my hand across the table here, Tabitha. Meaning and purpose. It's number 23 in the spirituality suit. So this is a little message for you, if you can relate to it in some way. Or I like to believe that when we pull these cards, that everybody can relate to it in some manner. But this is specifically directed at you, so here we go. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not what's the purpose of my life, rather, it's what's the purpose of life, rather, it's what's the purpose of my life. True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. Now, this card can relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or the lack thereof also. So maybe not a question so much as the big scheme of things, but it can be something very, very specific. So you look for the difference between the meaning and the purpose. So I hope that resonates with you in some way. So if I should just move right along here,
sure.
For the sake of time, Fran was next in line. Please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I was trying to write down at the same time. Fran, this one's for you. It's number 2. It's the self-esteem and validation. So again, if you can relate to this in some way, self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, which is not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, meaning what other people think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. So maybe it's just even a situation in this way, Fran. Maybe it's just questioning yourself, or where you feel doubt in a very specific situation that you don't normally find yourself in. So it's another layer of ourselves that we kind of check in with. I have these happen all the time. I'm sure we all do. But you say, wow, I didn't know I was nervous about that kind of thing. You know, oh, I didn't know that I expected a response, you know. So it's just one of those little reminders to just check in with self.
What was the face value of that one again?
That's number 2.
And what does it say?
It's the self-acceptance suit, and it's esteem and validation.
Okay, thanks.
Well, yeah, I can put this out there. Perhaps Michael would like to pull a card for Bridget. It's open to the floor, Michael, if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be happy to. And Bridget? For you, I've picked number 17 in the existential suite, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, Such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring that they are healthy. Answer the question, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
That's a good card.
It's a really good card.
Good card for Bridget.
And that kind of fits in with what we were talking about tonight, too, in a lot of ways. Is if we have things, whatever it may be, we need to reinvent ourselves. We need to choose deliberately our core values and make sure that they are with integrity and notable and healthy core values.
Exactly. All right.
Go ahead, son, if you got something else.
Oh, I was just going to say, and you know, really examine where do those values come from? What was the origination? Was it just something that you picked up as a child? Was it tradition, or was it something that you really dwelt on, that you thought on, that you really came to a very, you know, conscious decision about?
Good. Was there any other?
Yes, there was Phyllis.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Go ahead, Michael. If you grab a card there for Phyllis, glad Phyllis could join us tonight. So this is for you, Phyllis.
All right, Phyllis. I drew wild card number 9. Blank. Whatever it means to you.
I love that card. I love it. I love it.
Excuse me. All right, give me one sec. Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. It is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
That's well put.
That's very well put.
Great, great card.
I think Dr. Hunter wrote that one.
Yeah, you know, I would just like to throw my 2 bits worth in. There's a lot of discussion in the chat room about, oh, you know, Black Lives Matter and people saying all lives matter. And, you know, we have addressed all of that. I would like to, and it has been brought up, and I'm grateful about that. People who are oppressed do have to find their own voice. They have to find their own voice to be noticed and to be taken seriously, and then to be treated equally. I might just remind people that the same thing happened in the suffragette movement and oppression for women. And women had to have their own movement, whether that's a gender thing, it's a race thing, it's a religion thing. It's still whoever is being oppressed has to stand up for themselves. And they have to collectively get together, and they have to enlist the help of others, and they have to educate others. Do we wish that we could say all lives matter? Yes, and we are saying that. But I tell you what, I have seen so much bigotry and so much prejudice in my life, and it does not stop until the very people who are oppressed stand up to say, I matter. And I matter in this way, I matter in that way, and I matter. So if it means, you know, whole bunch of black folks saying Black Lives Matter, then we should all say Black Lives Matter.
They do.
And we can say white lives matter. And we can say all these, and we can do that. But until somebody in that community says, I matter, and my community matters, and in meaning, in this case, Black Lives Matter, the same way as the American Indian people, indigenous people matter. You know, we don't have that issue here so much, at least not publicly, about yellow lives matter. You know, it's red, yellow, black, and white, and every other imaginable shade in between. But we are in a huge growth spurt, and I say, if you got to sing it, you sing it loud, and you get everybody else on board, and we do it in as good a way as we can. And that's the only way, with hopefully not fear. But any time the oppressed raises their voice, everyone fears it, because they don't know what's going to be the result. Will that voice being raised come out in anger, or will it come out in love? And sometimes you have to be really loud in order to speak in the name of love. And that's the warrior self. And hopefully that is the message that we've been talking about all through this program, is to heal and speak with love. But sometimes we have to be fierce about that to do the right thing. So that's my 2 cents.
Good comments. All right. Did we catch everybody's card that wanted one? I think we did.
I didn't notice any others. Did you, Michael?
I believe we got everybody, yes.
Okay, cool.
Great discussion.
It is. And so before we wrap things up, I wanted to also address another bit of sad news concerning Gaurav Tiwari, who is a student at IMHS and was also our representative, Paranexus representative for India. He passed on July 7th. A few days ago, nearly a week ago, and it was unexpected. He was 31 years old. He was married a few months ago. There's some news reports that, you know, talk about it being a suicide, and I, you know, I don't know if the police ruled that. I can't trust everything I read on this thing, but I will tell you about Gaurav. He was a very driven and focused young man. I first met him back in 2008 when he enrolled in my certified paranormal investigator course. And so he took the CPI course. He did great on it. He also took the certified leading paranormal investigator course, which is a leadership course. And he did that. He became a member of Paranexus. He was very active. He was a good mentee, you know, for me. I mean, we had a lot of discussions. He wrote a lot of blogs. He was on a number of television series, especially in India. I think the one called Girls Night Out, and then Haunting Australia most recently. And he had a lot of work going on. I mean, he was very active. Now, when I first met him, he was actually in Florida, in the Orlando area, studying to be a commercial pilot. And he did that. And he went to work as a pilot for, I believe it was Air India, but he did that for a while. But he was just into anomalous research. He wanted to make a difference. And so he left that career and he went into anomalous research. And hence the subsequent television series. He formed his own group. He was very, very active in it. And he was driven. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he was trying to accomplish. He shared on his blog on Paranexus some years ago about an exorcism which he handled. Well, you know, the parents called him in because they said her daughter was possessed. And he handled that superbly. It was a psychological thing. She lost her boyfriend, and it wasn't a possession. And yet he got right into it. He was very grounded. He knew how to keep things real and down to earth. And I was always impressed with him because he went out after it. He went out and happened to life. And so to hear that, you know, he killed himself, that just doesn't stack up. And I'm not going to accept that at this point. I don't know what happened. I know he died of asphyxiation, they said, but again, I'm not sure what I can believe. The point is he passed. He will be remembered. He did a lot of good work. He helped a lot of people. And very sorry to see him go. However, wherever he is next chapter, I'm sure he'll be continuing the same line. So if you happen to know him or know of him, you know, we certainly wish his family all our condolences and our best wishes and hope that they can get through this. It's very difficult, I'm sure. So I just wanted to share that with everyone.
You know, I might just add that all life is fragile. For as strong as we are, we're fragile. And no matter the circumstances, we're here today. And we're here in this moment. And, you know, just enjoy it to the best that we can and love each other. You know, that's what we were talking about. Yeah. look out for each other, take care of each other, support one another, and have somebody's back. And hopefully you have somebody who has your back too.
Yeah, you know, and those are good points. You know, here we are. We have an opportunity right now to go out and happen to life, to make a difference, to make a positive difference. And that's what we should all be doing in our own way. Not getting too overcome with the stuff going on in the world, not allowing it to create undue fear like we talked about last week, but focus on what our mission is, what our purpose is, what we want to accomplish, and note what's going on and do our best to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. So again, we want to thank Dr. Norman Wilson for being with us tonight. We appreciate his comments on energy healing. We appreciate everyone tuning in and the comments in the chat room. We appreciate those listening to the archive. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.